Great. So we are going to have some testimonies today. I'm not going to preach. You say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So just for those people giving testimonies, it's Elaine. Then it's a young man at the back. You ready? And it's going to be Shona. Yeah, okay, Shona. Are we good? Great. So Elaine, would you like to come and join us? And let's give Elaine a round of applause. She's very brave. So, Elaine, you've been a Christian how long now?
A few months.
A few months. Okay, that's good. And would you like to tell us why you became a Christian?
Well, I've thought long and hard about this question. And to be honest, I don't know really why that I became a Christian. I always thought, I don't believe there was no one there looking after me. Why would there be? It's just stupid old me. So who's going to care about the things that I've sort of done and not done? But I grew up within St. Stephen's Church from the age of three. Not through my family believing in God, but through a Baringen group, which my four older siblings belong to. So yeah, I went to church, mainly Christmas, and to do the crib service and Christingle. But I always thought it was boring. And I would say to myself, I really don't want to be here. So as a teenager, I rebelled a lot and I went on ignoring God. Three children and a lot of life experiences later, I found myself living in Woodrow and started working at Oasis Shop, where I met Ruth, which was a blessing. Because her and Caroline, I don't think I would have had my little girl Freya. When I was 20 weeks pregnant, I found out that she was very poorly. They came and prayed over me with Freya, and my prayers were answered, and she is my miracle baby. But still, after that, I still wasn't ready to accept Jesus. Up until the 26th of September this year, where Sophie, my amazing daughter, who I'm so, so proud of, she joined the worship team. And she's like, oh, Mum, you've got to come and watch me sing. So I didn't really want to come, but I thought, well, I better do my motherly duties. So I came along and I supported her. As soon as I walked through these doors, I've never felt so welcomed in my entire life ever. The greeting was just amazing. And as I sat down and you all began to sing, I had a surge of emotion that ran through me. I listened to the service and that day with my heart, and I did leave here very confused, but I felt a thirst to know Jesus. Did it make a difference? Not straight away. I was learning about a person. I didn't trust anybody, not even myself. And I suddenly put all my trust into something I still didn't know about. It became a battle inside my head. So I thought, right, I'm going to have to go on an alpha course and really sink my teeth into this and see if it was really for me. I questioned, I argued, and I went to the alpha weekend where, wow, I didn't know what hit me. I suddenly became full of love, peace, and joy. I remember having flashbacks through my life, seeing him standing over me, and I just knew that he'd been there all along. I wasn't empty inside no more. I was blind, but now, oh, now do I see. Which, it happened to me again last night at a lovely little church where I went to a spiritual healing service, which was taking place. I was being prayed over, and I had a pull to the floor where it brought me to my knees. I no longer was in that room. The way I can describe it is like I was in a tornado, but I was right in the middle of the eye, and it was so peaceful, but everything was rushing past me. I eventually came back. So I'm ready to move forward on my journey and to finish the race with God. And he's to lead me to do whatever that he may want me to do. So you ask how my Oasis Church, how the Oasis Church has made a difference in my life. It's gave me friendship. Through Bibles, bumps and babies, I thank you. It's gave me self-worth, strength and courage. Also a purpose. I've yet to start my new role here with you. But I'm excited and looking forward to getting to know you all better. Most of all, it's gave me a future.
Fantastic. So the Bible talks about once there was a time when we were far off from God, that we didn't know him. But then it talks about a time when we come to know him. And this is a testimony that you cannot deny. Someone that didn't want God, didn't believe there was a God. And then at God's right timing, in his perfect timing, he comes, he meets Elaine. Elaine came because she thought she was singing, listened to her daughter singing. But actually God on his diary got Elaine, Oasis Christian Centre, in his diary. And you came in and the love of Jesus impacted you. But there's so much more when you give your life to Jesus. So she had this encounter which we call baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God came upon her and absolutely blessed her. And blessed her again last night. And there's so much more for you, Elaine. You just keep pressing in and keep moving forward. Raise your hands towards Elaine. Bailey, could you come forward? Thank you. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, for more of your presence and more of your Spirit over Elaine. We thank you for this journey that she has and that, Lord, how she's encountered you. And we pray, Father, that this will be the start of an amazing journey for Elaine and her family and that little precious girl, Freya, who's a miracle baby. I remember us praying for her in this church when you were 20 weeks. And so, Father, we just ask that, Lord, this future ahead will be one that will just amaze Elaine in Jesus' name. Thanks, Elaine. God bless. Round of applause again for Elaine. This is Bailey. Do you want to just show them your T-shirt? Just turn around the back. Can you all read that at the back? What is it? Does that bring back any memories for what we're trying to do here? This is our vision, in case you're wondering what it's for. Loving God, loving others, loving other people. Okay, Bailey, over to you.
Hi, guys. Don't really know why I became a Christian personally myself. It was just always something I was drawn to as a young kid. And I did attend church as a little kid as well. But after several years of, I guess, not being understood, I just sort of left it. And several months ago, I came to Oasis Christian Centre, the youth group with Abby, and went to the youth trip away, and then I sort of got a sense of fulfillment after the youth trip away, and I guess I stayed around to explore that, and here I am today. I think it's improved my life personally, as I've definitely been a lot more positive and hopeful for the future. And I think that's been quite positive, as I have had quite down times over the past 2 years myself. Being part of the Christian Oasis Christian family has been very amazing, to be fair, because I felt quite at home here, like a second home. And it's being able to trust and rely on people, as I've never really been able to do that before. So, yay. And also, like, I feel like I found like several role models, male role models, as I've never really had one. So to have a couple here to, I guess, base my life around has been quite nice. So that's me.
We have heavily invested in our young people and children and young people, and we're going to continue to do that, and we're going to start to see some great fruit from that, that God is doing some great things among us. I want to thank Josh at the back for his passion for young people. We're so blessed to have Josh. I'm not saying that because he's my son, although I am biased. But him and Luma could have gone in ministry somewhere else. They've chose to stay here for our young people because they love you. There's great opportunities for Josh and Luma to go and minister, have their own church and do other things. But Joshua said, I want to stay with these young people at the moment. And this is a fruit of that. And there are other fruits. So all the young people in the room, could you just stand that come to our youth group and have been blessed by having Josh and Luma? Would you stand in the room? I want you to look around. These are just a few of them. On a Friday, you can have up to 50, 45, 50 young people. And there's some more in the other room that have been blessed. And at a church, I want you to raise your hands towards all these young people. Josh, can you just come and stand here in Luma as well? I'd like to honour you as well today. Could you and raise your hands towards Josh and Luma as well? They've made great sacrifices to be here on the huge salary that we pay him. Father, first of all, I want to pray for Bailey. I want to thank you for him. I want to thank you, Lord, for his journey. I thank you for where he's come. Father, I ask, Lord, that this season be a season like no other for him. I pray, Lord, that he will grow and fly in your presence and he'll do great exploits. He'll know his God and do great exploits. I pray, Lord, that your spirit will rest upon him. Lord, when he's on his skateboard going down the road at night, Lord, I just pray for a fresh outpouring of your spirit, Lord. Wherever he is, Lord, I pray your spirit will be upon him. And, Lord, that you will amaze him. Amaze him. Thank you for his servant heart. Thank you, Lord, the way he asks on the Sunday. Is there anything I can do? Is there anything you need help with? Thank you for his heart. Lord, I pray you give me a bigger heart, a bigger, softer heart, but tougher skin to deal with things in life that he needs to deal with. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Josh and Luma. I thank you for them. I ask, Lord, for your presence and your special blessing upon them. And, Lord, for their choices in their life to serve you and to follow you. And what a blessing they are here. And, Lord, we're going to see an abundance of a harvest. We believe that. Thank you for them both. And for these young people, let's raise our hands towards young people. Father, we thank you for them. We ask, Lord, for a special blessing upon them. Lord, in a season in their life, it will be like no other for them. Lord, I pray in the challenges that they face in this world where so many different voices call them to live like everybody else, to do the things that everybody else does, to behave like the world. Lord, I pray, Lord, that their voice would be much stronger. Your voice would make stronger in their lives. And Lord, they will do great things. So bless them, Lord, I pray. In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, Bailey. Shona. Another one of our young people. Great to see you, Shona. You okay? Good. Oh, we got a long one here. That's good.
So how did I become a Christian? I was always brought up in a Christian household, and I always went to church, and I was surrounded by lots of Christian friends and family. But I never really knew who God was until last year. Everyone had a lot of time to reflect because of lockdown, and I asked myself, what was I doing for God now that I couldn't go to church? I started to find out who God really was through Christian apps, reading my Bible, and asking my mom lots of questions about God. My mom encouraged my faith because I was inspired how faithful she was and how she reflected God's character. This last year was really hard for me because I dealt with severe OCD and became very upset, and I lost myself and who I was. And God really spoke to me and helped me to understand who he was and how great he was as I battled with my mental health. I got to an age where I became curious about who God was and the meaning of church. So I decided to learn about God and the importance of faith. And that really changed my life and helped me to find who I was again. So now that I have become a Christian, I always try my hardest with whatever I'm doing to try and honour God and bring glory to his name, No matter what it is, either school or one of my running competitions, I always try to mirror God's character. I strive to live life to its fullest, always being grateful and loving, even when it's hard. And because I'm a Christian, it really helps me when I'm having bad days. I know that God is with me, guiding me, protecting me, and providing for me. And that motivates me and gives me strength. God has helped me to be the best version of myself and find who I really am. So Oasis Church, it has helped me to take in every opportunity God blesses me with and taught me what God's children are really like. They're really caring, encouraging, and always looking out for each other. It has led me onto God's path and taught me what it's like to be a child of God. As I go to Limitless and Live Wires, it really builds my relationship with God as I have conversations with other young children of God. So, yeah, that's me and my story.
Fantastic. So what makes me feel old is when your mum told us she was expecting twins. Now, that was a bit of a journey, wasn't it, Rita? A long time ago. And you are a product of someone that loves Jesus. And you know what? We're going to pray that your generation of children that you have will all come to know Jesus as well. That this will be a generation that will not just be stopped with you, but will go on until Jesus returns. And you've really blessed me, Shona, with your beautiful smile, and you are always so positive and happy. And I watch you on a Friday, I come and watch the kids, and you interact, you help others, you've got a lovely heart, a lovely kind heart. And I want to say that I believe God's got a big ministry for you, and you will help a lot of people. I believe you've got a heart for people, and I've watched you do it. And what you're learning here now, God will use it in the future for you. So we're going to watch this space, and we're going to see what God does, but you hold on to him. We're going to pray for Shona now, and we're going to ask God to bless her. Father, I thank you for this precious young girl. I thank you, Lord, for her heart, for what you've done in this last year, in this last situation, that, Father, you, even through that pandemic, you draw people to you. Even when we could have no hope, we have hope, and you've given a hope. But, Father, I just pray that you will just blow Shona's mind as she takes steps of faith for you, as she becomes a shining light in a dark world, in a broken world, where she's struggled herself with her own mental challenges and health issues, that, Father, she'll be a light to others and she'll be able to help many other people. So, Lord, bless her. Bless her family. Bless her twin brother. Is he here? Bless him too. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. Fantastic. Is the cake lady here? Can we have the cake? Great. So, we will give you an opportunity. If anybody else has got a quick testimony, you can come up and sit there now. The first one that wants to give a quick testimony, if we're going to do it. You look at this beautiful cake here. Isn't this amazing? Pop it on there. This is our celebration cake that Jane and Hannah have done. Isn't that amazing? I broke one of my windows. We just threw a bit of glass in there. Didn't know what to do with it. So if it's a bit sharp, don't worry. We're here. We have gone through this pandemic. We're still here. We're still stronger. We've got more people on our church register now than we did before pandemic. There's about 270 people that are connecting with us now. The church is still here. Jesus hasn't hibernated, gone into shock. He's still building his church. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We are here. Part of today, and we hope you will stay with us afterwards, is to celebrate together that we're here and we've made it. Not one person has died from COVID. That is, can I tell you, some of my minister friends, one church has lost 17 people of a church of 58 people to COVID. We haven't. I'm not saying we're anything special. But from that day, that pandemic hit, when I was ill in my bed, I sought God and I said, God, save our congregation. So we're also celebrating. I'm sorry, I've lost some piece of paper, but I've lost the fact of all the people that wanted to celebrate today because it was on my computer. Now, Tony's 70, We're celebrating today. Anne and Jerry were celebrating 100 years of marriage, I think it is. I don't know where, I think, is Anne coming in Sunday school? Is Anne here? That's still probably in Sunday school. Jerry's on his way. Abby, we were celebrating your birthday, weren't we? Was that one you, were you one of them 30 last year? Was that you? Yeah, you'd forgotten. Happy birthday for last year, by the way. Anybody else now that I've, Jane? 40 years of marriage, wow. That's amazing. And only one argument. Lasted 40 years. Anybody else? I'm sure there was, oh, Pam? 70 years of marriage, wow. You did great. 70 years of age last year. Josh was 30. And Luma was 30 last year as well. Howard? 70 this year for Howard. Fantastic. So, oh, 64. How many? 60. Okay, 60. You don't look a day over 59. There's a hand there, Claire. You were 50 this year. Yeah, that remember, yeah. Yeah, 50. Sean was 50 last year. Yeah, Sean. So if you're celebrating, is anybody else I've missed? This is your cake. This belongs to you. Sorry. You were 30. Wow. You only look about 18. Anybody else? Karen. 60. Wow. And you're retired now, aren't you? 16. Who? Sheila. Sheila, 80. 80. Wow, fantastic. Wonderful. Anybody else? Can you tell me on the camera, if you're watching, could you let Fran know on the host and put, dear Fran, don't forget me because I want to save you some cake and make sure I have it. So this cake is for all of you that have had some specials. Everybody else, I'm sorry, it ain't for you. But there are some cupcakes that have been made. Is that okay? Is that all right? But can I just thank Jane and Hannah again? They're doing a great job there. So we're going to have a testimony in a minute, a short one. Lovely. And then we're going to have the worship team come up now. Get ready for straight after the testimony. And then I'm going to explain what we're going to do. Is that okay? But thank you so much. And I just want to honour you all for being here today as well. Okay then, young man. There's the mic. Okay. No, it's on. It'll be on. Okay.
Hello. Yeah, I just felt compelled because I've been given such a brilliant testimony. So long story short, by the age of 12... I began dabbling with narcotics. 23 years later, 20 odd years of heroin addiction, methadone addiction, every substance you can probably think of, I've been addicted to it at some point in my life. And I kept bumping into these guys from church, and they used to work in a rehab centre called Teen Challenge, and it was insane because I'd go like to a different city. And I'd get off the bus, and who would be the first people I'd bump into? These guys from the church. You're ready to get away yet? And I'd be like, no, totally in denial. I'm okay, I don't need any help. So anyway, long story short, I finally submitted and said, come on, let's do this rehab. So I went for my interview. You have an interview to get into rehab, and I'm really unsure about it. I wasn't a believer. So I've done my interview, everything went well, and we're in the car on the way home, and I'm in the back seat, and the couple who I kept bumping into were driving, so they drove me down to the interview, and I just bowed my head and I said, God, if you're real and you are truly there, like, I need to know, because if I go to this place, I'm handing my life over fully to you. And as I looked up, literally the second I looked up, we passed the road sign and it said, free recovery ahead. Right? 2 seconds later, there was another road sign and it said, stay in the narrow lane. Then literally about a second later, there was another road sign and it said, future works planned. Now, my spirit just twisted. And it was in this moment that I realized the power of God and how reality could be twisted to his will and how he kind of knew everything. And anyway, that was like 4 years ago, four years clean of all drugs now. You know, despite my struggles. Thanks. You know, despite some of the struggles I've had, I know that I've got a King who is with me and who guides me and strengthens me and looks after me. And I just want to encourage you guys who are new Christians. There's going to be times, you know, when there's going to be doubts, but he's faithful. Just remain faithful and, you know, run the race and just keep believing. That's all I got to say. Keep believing. Amen.
Great. Okay, so we're going to pray for this young man, Matthew. When he turned up at our church, I knew God had called him to come here. It was quite strange. I saw him walk through the door, and I felt God say to me, this young man needs a place to learn and to grow, a springboard for him. I know the challenge is, when you've got a drug addiction, which he still would be addicted to drugs, it's like if you're an alcoholic, you don't go to a pub. Okay, so please don't anybody say, you're going to take some drugs together, because you might be okay, but he won't be. He needs to stay off the drugs. He needs to be addicted to one thing only, and that's Jesus. And we're going to pray that the addiction to Jesus will far greater anything else he's ever experienced in his life, up until this part, because there's still a battle times, isn't there? Still a battle. And when we're in a spiritual battle, everything when it comes to addictions is a spiritual battle. It's not just about, I like to have a drink or I like to take drugs. There's a spiritual battle going inside. And the only way to overcome addiction is to be addicted to the greatest high, which his name is Jesus. To be totally in love with him. And to be totally passionate about him. And to totally follow him. Because if Jesus becomes second place, then something else can come first place. And you may be addicted to something today. I'm going to pray for you in a minute. We are going to be a little bit later in the worship, so just hang on. We just need to go through this and do this. So I want you to raise your hands towards Matthew. In fact, what I'd like, actually, Howard, could you come and stand here for me? That's great. And Barry, could you come and stand as well? And I just want to do something very prophetic today for you. Is that okay? I knew you were going to give a testimony. I knew it. And I wanted to do something today. Do you remember Moses when the battle was being fought? When his arms were in the air, he won the battle. Yeah? When his arms dropped, he lost the battle. Guys, could you just raise his hands and hold his arms up in the air? Because part of being Oasis family is caring for other people. Part of loving others is holding their arms up when they go through tough times in their life. And there'll be people in this church at times you need to hold their arms up and stand with them. Because the battle's so hard. And if anybody tells you the battle is easy, it is not easy. Because the enemy does not want you to win. He wants you to lose and fail. But I've got news for the enemy. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Father, I pray now for Matthew that where he's come from, that Lord, his future is determined and set by you. And the plans that you have for him, I pray, Father, over him, the plans to prosper him, to take him to a new level with you. Father, I pray that he would walk now in a way he's never ever walked before. I come against the enemy and the work of the enemy that would seek for him to fail and to be destroyed and to not follow you. Father, we come against that in the name of Jesus, and we pray over him today that he will walk with a supernatural walk and he will be totally addicted to you. Father, I pray your love, his love for you will be stronger. And Lord, as we raise his hands, Lord, we stand with him in agreement and in unity that this man will do great exploits for his God. Father, I'm already impressed with how much his Bible knowledge is in the fact that the amount of addiction that he's taken with his mind. And Father, I pray his mind will be completely clear of anything so he can completely study and get a great grade in his theological studies. But Lord, it won't just be about studies. It will be about this, walking with Jesus. And you cleanse his mind and his body, and he'll be totally drug and addiction free for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. As he travels back home for Christmas, I pray, Lord, he'll be stronger than he's ever been before. As he walks back into his hometown where the pull could be so strong, I pray, Father, that the influences and the strength and the things that would pull him will be broken in Jesus' name. And Lord, those people that might come across his path, Lord, will be silenced and bound in Jesus' name. Lord, when he goes back to his family, it'll be like a time he's never been before in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him a round of applause. Thank you guys for doing that. So Sunday school's gone on a little bit longer, and we're going to allow those kids. They're having a great time in there. So does anybody else want to give a testimony? Come on then, Jane. Anybody else want to give a testimony? Oh, okay. Okay. Is that okay, guys? We are running over a bit late, but we're going to let our kids for once have prime time. Some really good stuff's happening with our children right now. Okay.
I just wanted to say a word of encouragement, really, to all the young ones that have been up this morning. You'll probably go through some tough times, but don't ever forget that God is with you and he'll carry you through those times. And what you feel that you are now, you may feel that you lack confidence. He will give you that as you journey with him, but cling to him, study his word. His word is so important. And we've been on a long journey together, haven't we, Robin?
We have.
I was born again 1987, December 1987, so that's a long time ago. And we've seen a lot happen in this church. This church has ministered to me. I've had a lot of healing. I've had a lot of emotional healing. I was quiet and shy when I came into this church. And you wouldn't believe it. What God has done in me, he's had to work out a lot of things in me. I had a lot of fear. I mean, a real lot of fear. I was fearful about everything in my work and lacked confidence. But over the years, God has worked all that out. And even when I never felt that I was loved, now I look back and I can see that God has been loving me through all those difficulties. And it's been a tough few years. Me and Robin have had a tough few years when we were caring for our parents. And it was a terrible, terrible time for me because there was such a lot going on. And, you know, lots of family things going on that were really difficult on top of caring for my mom. But all through that time, the Lord has been with me and he's helped me through that time. And then I came to a time where Robin was saying he wants to take people to Israel. And it was like, yeah, I want to go. I really, really, really want to get to know God in a much deeper level. And going to Israel was a turning point for me as well. He takes you along this journey and you get to a point and you think, yeah, this is great. God is great. I've got to that. I've got to where I need to be. But no, he takes you much deeper and you get to know him on a much deeper level and you'll never know the Father enough. You've got to keep clinging to him. You've got to keep searching his word and finding out how wonderful, how awesome, how great he is and how faithful and loving he is. When we were in Israel, we was on the boat, weren't we, Robin? The last time I went. And I just had this experience of how much. I was just looking over the boat and just looking deep into the water and it just seemed to get deeper and darker, like ink, really. And it was just like God was saying, I love this land so much, as deep as these waters. I love it. And I could just feel this love and the love for the land and the people, his family. And then this overwhelming sense of how much he loves me And it was just like this wave and wave. We was in worship because it's a worship boat. And if you want to go to Israel, I'll just say go, because it's, you just find, you know, you just find God there so much. And this, just this overwhelming sense of his love just kept coming and coming and coming. And I was just a snivelling wreck in the corner somewhere, just crying and crying and crying, because I'd never experienced love like that, not that sense. And so I just want to say, just keep searching, keep looking, keep believing, be faithful as he is faithful. He loves you so, so much. And that's it.
Right, thank you. Give that to Esther. Best laid plans of men and mice. We need you there, Chris. We've got one more testimony. Okay, Esther. Israel might go to war in the next few weeks, but I'm still believing in to take two groups out next year. So one in June and one in October. June will be spending a lot of time in Galilee. And in October, we'll be doing the Feast of the Tabernacles. So if you want to get in, you need to get in quick. There's already people booking in. Okay.
Are you all testimony doubt? I don't. The children have come in now. I can leave mine if you want.
Go on.
You want me to carry on? Okay. Yeah. Just very, very quickly then, I'll try and share. It's a long story, but I'll try and make it short. 3 years ago, just before Christmas, a week before Christmas, disaster nearly hit our family. And I was getting ready in the morning, and Lydia and Robin came into the bedroom and they said, "Have you heard Esther?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Your brother's in surgery, he's having life-saving surgery." And straight away I called my sister-in-law, and to try and keep the story short, the day before, my brother had been working late on his own in one of his practices. He's an optician. And he'd felt a tear in his chest, and he called his wife and said, "Please call an ambulance." And she said, "Why, Ian? And what's going on? This is the young man that never goes to the doctor, let alone asks for an ambulance." And then he became incoherent, and she called the ambulance, and they got him to hospital. It's a long story. I could tell you a lot more, but basically, he had an aortic dissection. The aorta was breaking down, and you don't survive that. And just to put it in context, this happens to 1 in 100,000 people, and only about 20% survive. And then of the survivors, over 95% have brain damage or kidney failure or a dead bowel. So his chances were very poor. And I called my sister-in-law, and he'd been taken down to theatre the night before, and the surgeon had said to her, "You know, don't expect him to survive." And she had to go home and tell a 12-year-old and an 18-year-old that, you know, daddy could die today, basically. So I spoke to her, and I said, "Look, let's pray." And there was a defiance that rose up on the inside of me. And I'm saying this because I know a lot of people are struggling at the moment with health issues. And we sang a song earlier. It said, "Sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning." And I know sorrow isn't always a literal night. It can be a season, but joy comes in the morning. And some of you are coming out of a season of winter or sorrow. Some of you are in the middle of it. But joy does eventually come in the morning. For us, it was a very short season. It was a literal night and a literal day. And I said to my sister-in-law, we prayed, and I said, "I speak life over Ian in Jesus' name. I come against every plan of the enemy. I come against what the doctor has said, you know, to expect death. And I speak life in Jesus' name." And I was defiant. And that day, it just so happened, it was obviously a God thing. I'd got a day of prayer and fasting planned anyway. I wasn't working that day. And I just began to fast and pray. And that's all I could really say was, "I speak life over Ian in Jesus' name." And not a mediocre life, an abundant life. And I kept praying it and praying it and praying it constantly. And I did something silly. I went and Googled his operation and watched the surgery as well online, which you shouldn't do. But I just kept praying and praying and praying, "Life in Jesus' name." And as the hours went on, we realised that he must be still alive, because we'd heard nothing. and he had a 10-hour surgery. They completely replaced his aorta, completely replaced it. And we went to visit him on the night, and he wasn't really recognisable. He had about 19 lines going in and out of him, and he just, yeah, I won't go into the details. But Robin anointed him with oil, and other people went and prayed as well. And on Saturday, I've got a video on my phone. On Saturday, two days later, he was up and walking up and down the corridor, swinging his only one and only drainage tube. And, you know, God, it was just a miracle, an absolute miracle. While he was still asleep, they were saying, you know, he could be brain damaged, he could have a dead bowel, he could have renal failure. And they were warning us, don't get your hopes up just because he's come through the surgery. But I know God is on the throne. And I just want to encourage you, you know, if you know somebody's sick, you're struggling yourself, speak life. You know, whatever the enemy's plans are, we bind them in Jesus' name, and we speak life into every life and every situation and every sickness. And can I just pray before the worship team carry on? Lord, I just bring the whole church to you, and I thank you, Father, for the way you've brought us through COVID so far. But Lord, we know there are people suffering with cancer. We think of Rose as well, and Chantelle that are in hospital at this time. Lord, the enemy has his plans for them, but you have yours. And we speak life. We speak the plans of God into every single person that's struggling with their health. In Jesus' name, we bind the plans of the enemy. We bring them to nothing. And we thank you, Lord, that you will continue to build your church. Amen. Amen.
One of the things Esther didn't say was, when we were on the way to the hospital to go and pray for him, we had a phone call to say, don't go, because he's gone back for a second surgery. And I was going to turn the car around, and I said, no, we're going. I don't care, we're going to go. When we got there, we anointed him with oil. We prayed for him. I knew he was going to be okay. I just had this sense. But if we hadn't have gone and prayed for him, I don't know whether the story were doing the same. We have to keep pressing in. Somebody says you can't. Unless God says don't do it, do it. And if you get it wrong, it doesn't matter. We've got to press in.